This episode of the Taking Notes podcast is sponsored by Integra for Notes, the leading Microsoft Office integration and reporting tool for Lotus Notes. Integra for Notes improves your capabilities for data analysis, printing, graphing, mail merge, and even data importation into Notes by integration of Lotus Notes with Microsoft Word, Excel, XML, and PDF files. See Integra for Notes at Lotusphere 2007 at booth 610 for a demonstration of this outstanding product. Learn more about Integra for Notes by visiting their website at www.integrafornotes.com. That's www.integra4notes.com. It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Taking Notes podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
How you doing, Julian?
I'm doing good, Bruce. I just can't wait for Lotusphere. That's all.
It's coming up, and I think from the five days, I'll be leaving for Lotusphere on Friday the 19th, and we're taking the red eye out. So we'll be there on Saturday morning, probably at the hotel, probably around 10:30 or so. And hopefully, we won't have the taxi ride from hell that we had last year. But I don't know if I ever told you about that, but maybe we'll save that for a future podcast.
No.
Did you like the new intro? You're billed as number one now. So.
Well, we can just go back and forth with that, I guess. We're very socialistic about that sort of thing, I guess. So we can.
Well, it's on our prenup, so
we can share it. That's true. This is 2007 was my year, right?
2006 was my year. 2007 is your year, et cetera. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I have the Listen Up T-shirts for the show, which are a navy blue shirt and talking about podcasting. It includes our podcast as well as the I Do Notes podcast and another podcast that. I came across was the Cryosystems podcast. So if you head on over to the Taking Notes blog at takingnotespodcast.com, you can find a link to it. And those guys from Cryos, it's really, really cute. Some really great stuff. They got a good podcast. So let's see. Our podcast, who did we talk to just recently, Julian?
Who do we talk to just recently? Like just today?
Eric.
Now, Bruce, don't do that to me. I'm not going to pronounce the last name. That's not fair.
No,
actually, I'm not good with names.
It's Eric Hoovengale from Ytria. Not Ytria. Ytria. It's Ytria.
So, Ytria, correct.
I'm sorry I put you on the spot like that, Julian.
Just don't do that sort of thing to me. That's not fair.
I'm going to go cry. I practiced for days. I looked at Eric Hoovengale. The Gale part I got really easy because it was Gale. But, hey, Ytria makes a series of development tools, which you may or may not be familiar with, some great stuff. You can actually go to their site, download them, try them out. You can't make any changes to your database, but you can read away. You can see all these great things about your database designs, etc. So check them out. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. And anything else you want to add, Julian, before we take a listen to our interview with Mr. Eric Hoovengale?
No, I have nothing to add, Bruce. I think the podcast stands on its own.
The podcast stands on its own, so let's let her rip. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Taking Notes podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
And we also have on Skype today Mr. Eric Hoovengale from Ytria in Quebec, Montreal, Canada. Is it Montreal, Quebec?
Montreal, Quebec. Yeah, well, it depends if you take the French accent or if you stay in pure English. But Quebec is more international, we'll say.
Well, yeah. Did I get the order right? Montreal, Quebec, Canada, or Quebec, Montreal?
Well, this is politics.
Oh, okay. No politics on the Taking Notes podcast.
Exactly. So, for myself, I would say Montreal, Quebec, Canada, for sure, yeah.
All right. Well, Eric, welcome to the podcast. You know, for those of you not familiar with Wytria, they are a leading provider of developer tools for Notes and Domino, and we're here to let Eric tell us a little bit about those products, to tell us how those products came to be, and I think you, everyone's going to enjoy the podcast.
Okay, well, let's start off with just a couple of questions. Eric, just give us the brief history of Wytria. Where did the company come from? What was the big need that you were trying to fill?
Well, being myself a developer in Notes, when we created Wytria, it was in 1999. The idea mainly was to say, well, it's enough to spend time on silly stuff, so we need to build some tools and everything. So I met a really nice guy, a really good geek guy, who's a C developer, and with my knowledge of Notes, we worked together so to build some bases, some tools. The first tool we built was AdaptEasy. You will see that all the tools are something easy. You know, it's kind of a basic idea here.
No, it's a great tagline. You know, everything's easy. So
everything's easy.
Life is easy. Yeah, life is easy.
.com.
And the first tool we built was AdaptEasy. It was a huge tool that was able to build some application from scratch in multi-language and everything. But I think it was a bit too big, so we were never really able to sell that. But the funny side of it is we were finalists for the Lotus Beacon Award with this tool a long time ago. And since then, we built six fabulous products, if I can say.
Six fabulous products.
Exactly. We built six fabulous products that little by little we are making them bigger and bigger and more powerful. So we can say that Wytria began initially in a garage, you know, like a garage company, like in the 2000s. And now, well, we are in a nice building with some nice offices and everything, and we are growing. Every month, somebody come, you know, join the team. So presently,
With the tools you have now. Now it's you have the, I guess, the six smaller tools instead of the one really large tool.
Yeah.
What kinds of things can you do that most Notes people say, oh, you can't do that?
Well, We have three family of tools, if we can say. We know we can cut the tools in three big families. You have the pure dev tools, which are Vue Easy, Action Bar Easy. So from the name, you can see that we're working with views, we're working with action bars. The idea with this tool is to stop losing time. So it's definitely to, you know, to handle your views and in one place. You know, I don't know for you, but I spent hours changing properties in colons, changing properties in actions, this kind of stuff, you know, just in all your applications. And the idea with this tool here is to say, okay, I click one button and all is done at once. So that's the main idea here. After that, the other family, well, it's a tool by itself. The name is ScanEasy. It's kind of the main tool. Presently, a lot of people discover us through ScanEasy. The idea of ScanEasy is very simple, is to see everything. You know, to have a real access to everything inside of your Notes application, and from there being able to do whatever you want. So you can change whatever you want and everything. You know, you don't have to develop stuff to make some modification, mass modification, whatever. Here you can see what's here and you can change whatever you want. Mainly the idea came from NotesPeak. We're NotesPeak users, and we were really rapidly, we were limited by what NotesPeak gave us as possibility, and this is where we say, well, let's build a NotesPeak with some power on it. You know, some customer called NotesPeak, ScanEasy NotesPeak on steroid. You know, so we put steroid in NotesPeak.
NotesPeak.
Yes.
Sorry? Yeah, and you know, everybody, you know, it's like everybody. We were sad when we saw that definitely nobody was taking care of NotesPeak anymore. And so it didn't evolve since what, R5?
I don't know. I heard it's somewhere in San Francisco right now, walking the streets. So
Oh no! Well, that was originally Ned Batchelder, isn't it?
Correct.
I think I think he wrote that, and then he left, and it seems like no one really picked it up. But and of course that was view only, where ScanEasy you can actually edit things, right?
Yeah. And we added some other search, and we're still adding some because you know working with Notes application, you definitely find yourself in a situation where you say, well, okay, a search by formula is nice, but I need something else because this is a tricky one. You know, my document, I don't know, I got some ghost documents, this kind of stuff is, how can I find these guys? So we added some other ways of doing some search in your application in Series 3. So many ways so you can play with tools. Definitely. It's a, one day we counted the number of tools we have inside of ScanEasy, and we reached a number of 100 something like that. And it's growing every day.
Well, and I'll tell you, going through the products that you have, I think my favorite one, just from looking at what it does and the problems that it solves, is ActionBarEasy. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you get into a situation where you're designing these applications and you have 50 views and you want them all to look the same, and then suddenly when you're about to push it out, someone says, you know, I really wish the background was blue for all of these, and can you make the font Arial 12 instead of Verdana 10? And you've got to go in each and every one of those views, and ActionBarEasy, that's something where you can just go and change everything all at once, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So you can definitely have your user in front of you and say, okay, do you like this green? No. A bit more like that? No. A bit more like that? You know, and this is live. You know, you don't have to spend 1 week every time to just change the cards. And it's really useful, too, when we're talking about, you know, so you have some good old application built in F4.6, for example, with this kind of crappy look. And nobody wanted to spend the time just to change the action bars and everything here. You just have to click the button and say, okay, now it's R7 kind of look.
Right, and you can really and you can save a given set of settings, right, and then just apply them to any view in any database you want, right?
Rather than saving a settings, you can use an existing setting in any existing application you get somewhere on your network.
So you can R&D, right? Rob and develop, right? Deploy. Mm-hmm, Rob and deploy.
That's the idea, definitely. And it's where we met VueEasy after that. The idea with VueEasy was to do the same, but now on the columns, you know, the columns of the views. I don't know for you, but I spend hours going through all my views and just say, okay, now we have to change the information in this column, and this column is used in my 50 views. Okay, I have to go through all of them because the customer has to put that in red and they want to add something inside of it. You know? And here you can do the same. You can select all your columns across your views and say, okay, now this is the formula and now I'm going to change the look and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, that really kind of gets us closer to something that Bruce and I have talked about before where suddenly instead of having these notes databases where you have to go and do things, just individually to all of these different design elements, how you can have almost a template and sort of apply the template to the database. And that's it. You know, again, as someone who develops databases all the time, gosh, that will be so nice to be able to do. and then DesignProPEasy, that's something that's kind of along those same lines, right?
Yeah, it's a small tool. It's handling mainly one thing, the refresh and replace design ability on a design. And when you look at the history of notes, if you look at the 4.6, to change this kind of information, you had to go through each design element to change that. And little by little, they changed that with the notes version. So now with the R7, definitely you can change this kind of setting on a full form list, for example. You know, so you take all your form, now is going to be refreshed, not refreshed, this kind of stuff. So today, with DesignProPEasy, we go one step higher by looking at the full database at once. So you can definitely have a global situation and see, okay, why is your inheritance situation, what is your refresh situation globally on your database, and change it. And the most important thing is with DesignProPEasy, you can work as a batch, on a batch mode. So We had a case, for example, a customer. It's funny because you heard some really funny story from customers. A customer wanted to upgrade their system from R5 to R7, I think. And what they wanted to do is to change, the icon of the database for all the mail.
Right.
But by default, this is said to not to be refreshed. So they were facing their 5,000 mail database and say, okay, we're going to hire somebody for 1 week, and he's going to then check all of them. And yeah, 1 week should be enough. And they found that design prophecy, they made a small Lotus script to launch on a batch mode design prophecy, and in 15 minutes it was done. So I agree that design prophecy is not a tool you're going to use every day.
Sure, put a notes developer out of work,
No, like that. No developer can focus on what is important, the application, functionalities. But yeah, who like to spend time just ticking one thing for 1 week?
Eric, you mentioned this one situation, about having to change the icon in 5,000 databases, and I guess before we went on the air here, you also mentioned about these urban myths, about Notes and Domino development, or, things in Notes and Domino that are myths. Do you want to tell us something about some of those?
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure, because what happened is through our, because since our application is built in C++, and we're using extensively the C API, we went really down inside of the Notes structure. And it's funny because when you're talking to customers, you have some themes that come recursively. You say that in English?
Recursively?
Yeah. Okay. You have some themes that come. It's, do you do that? Or do you handle that? And we have every time to explain to them, well, this is not true. It's everybody thinks that, but this is not true. I got a nice one. We discovered that lately with Kanzi, this not speak on steroid. For example, we discover that, for example, a Note ID is not unique.
It's not unique.
You can have. Usually, what happens is on documents. So, documents can have several Note ID for the same document. Promise. I swear. I knew I spit and everything. It's you can have several Note ID. You can have. We found some database where a document can have up to 4 Note ID.
Okay. So, but they are unique to that document.
Yeah. Is there unique? Yeah, it's unique inside of the database.
Well, that's interesting.
But you can have several Note ID for one document. Usually they're following, you have the number 1, 2, 3, 4. And we tried everything. At the beginning, we thought it was a bug on our application. And definitely we made some extensive tests here. And yeah, definitely there is several Note ID for one document. But document only, not design element. Design element seem to have only one Note ID.
Hmm.
I don't know why.
Throw another one at us, Eric.
There is some one that comes recursively from our customer is the deletion stub lifetime. The deletion stub is a small trace of existing documents after it has been deleted.
Right.
And it's really funny to see there is so many versions of it. What is the lifetime of a deletion stub? What do you think it is, a lifetime for a deletion stub yourself?
Well, isn't the lifetime of a deletion stub, changeable, depending, on which, on a database-by-database setting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was approximately half the amount of time
or
that
third.
You set in, is it a third of the time that you set for, documents to be deleted, whether or not that... But you tell us.
Tell us. Yeah, we're not worthy.
I thought that until a few months ago, mainly. The main stories that come over and over is this story. It's a third of the amount, even if you don't check the box, remove document not modified in the last X days. You take
right,
this
that
number,
replication
you,
setting. Yeah,
yeah. Replication uh-huh. setting. You take the third of it, and then so your deletion stub will. So by default, it's 90 days. So by default, we say a deletion stub lifetime is 3 days. And I discovered it's not true. I learned that. I remember I learned that from my courses when I went through my CLPP stuff, and it was a long time ago. And I remember the teacher was explaining that to us, say, this is one third of that. And he was very proud to explain that because for sure it is not tell everywhere, you know, so it's a kind of secret you keep for yourself. And I told that to many customers during my full life of consultant as a node developer. And I learned, you know, it was a shock for me. It's, I learned some months ago that this is not true.
So what is it?
It's in fact, it is the number itself. So if you have 90 days, a deletion stub lifetime is 90 days. Plus the 1/3 of this number is the frequency on which the database will be scanned for deletion. So this means that if you have a deletion stub, it will stay 90 days, and after that, minus, you know, from 0 to 30 days, upon if you are on the beginning of the frequency or on the end of it, your deletion stub will be deleted. So it can be from 90 to 120 days.
Well, then if you integrate from 0 to infinity... No, I'm kidding.
So if you... So for sure, you can still delete all your deletion stub easily by putting a 0 on that, and this is immediate. But the lifetime is definitely more than we think. And there is a notes tech note about that somewhere. It's a kind of, you know, it's not always easy to understand, but when you read it kind of 3 or 4 times, you say, yeah, he's right.
Well, two things, Eric. One would be, do you see a lot of customers coming in with that type of problem? And the second is there any of the tools that you guys, you know, any of the 6 tools, ScanEasy, ViewEasy, ActionBar-Easy, SignEasy, DesignProp-Easy, or FormEasy, do any of those tools help address and manage that, or not yet?
With ScanEasy, you will be able to see all your deletion stub, and you will be able to play with this deletion stub, knowing that the only thing you can do with a deletion stub is to delete the deletion stub. But you can do some search. We have several ways, as I said, there are several ways to do some search with ScanEasy. And we, for example, we have a search which gives you the documents, well, the notes. I rather use the terminology notes because it can be document, profile document, design element. And you can search that by date. So, you know, I don't know for you, but I often have, you do a replication, and you replicate your database on the server, and the server comes back, so, you know, you have the status at the end, say, okay, thank you for the replication. Well, usually it doesn't say thank you, but, and it gives you status, say, okay, I received 5, but I sent you 4. And you say, well, received 5, yeah, I did 5 modification, but what, what are these 4 documents I received? And there is no really good ways to know in notes. Well, there is no ways to know in notes what did you receive in your database, you know, and this is a big surprise. You know, is it design, is it document, is it profile, mm-hmm. is it deletion stuff? You don't know. With ScanEasy, you have the ability to say, okay, give me everything that changed in this file, so in this database, for example, since on the last hour. And then you will see the exact modification status. But delete, so it can be anything, your deletion stub, design element, document, and from there you will be able to work on it. Say, okay, this deletion stub should not exist anymore, please delete that. Mm-hmm. So this is a way to play with the system. So, for example, we have some customer using ScanEasy to handle the situation of a kind of ghost server that suddenly, something like 6 months after everybody replicates, and you have some old documents that come back suddenly in the system. It's really difficult to find them. You know, with ScanEasy, you have some tools that help you to find this. You know, what happened? What came back from where? What is the source of that?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess you do have a solution for that, and I too, back in my developer days, you know, I used to think about that those numbers that came back, and I was like, what? So thanks for clarifying that.
I think you're both saying the same thing.
We're so excited about our deletion stubs.
The tool we use for this search by last modification date, we used it to build some replication auditor. The idea is to see what's going to happen if you push the replication button now. So it will give you the potentiality of the situation, say, okay, what's going to be pushed, what's going to be pulled, extra, extra, extra. And it was really a tough work, this one, because we had to go through the full replication system and analyze the rules. You know, what is the rules for the replication? And for example, we found a very nice one is about the design, because you cannot have any conflicts on design. So the winner on a design replication is the one who saved it the most, not the one who saved it the last.
Really?
Oh, so because it has that sequence number, right?
Yeah, it's using the sequence number first and only. So if you're working with developers that are kind of control S, you know.
That's me. keep like, saving that design.
Yeah, exactly. And after that, you do some replication with the guys and everything. You will lose.
Oh, man. All right.
Hey. This happened to me. You know, I remember it when I was doing some development in some teams and not understanding why my modification was not there anymore in my code. And I was the last one to do it. So why? And because I was working with a saving guy.
Yeah, you know, that probably explains strange things that have happened to me over the years that I just, because that very situation has happened to me several times where you think, gosh, I know I made that change.
Exactly.
I know I fixed that change. Yeah.
And you thought it was just someone else screwing with you, you know?
You just don't know. It's a ghost in the machine.
the police, 1982? 1981, maybe.
I'll let you look that up.
Speaking of, speaking of sponsors here, we want to thank. I want to thank our sponsors who are sponsoring episode 43 of the Taking Notes podcast here. Integra for Notes. It is Integra for Notes. And for those of you who are not familiar with Integra for Notes, they make some wicked MS Office integration and reporting tools. So check them out at Integra, the number 4, NOTES.com. So tell them Bruce and Julian sent you when you go to make your purchase. So.
Hey, what the heck?
Yeah, it's a really nice company. They have some really nice – I know these guys. They are based in England and – they have some really nice solution. Yeah, I tried them. It's really nice.
Yeah, actually, for full disclosure here, and I told Julian this, my wife used to sell Integra for Notes through a business partner, and she really loved She loved the product. So so we like it too since they're sponsored. No, only kidding. No, we don't we fully disclose if we use the product or not. So
I use it, and I can say it's a nice application. It's a nice solution.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, now back to our regularly scheduled program. Ryan, why am I calling you your partner,
yeah,
Ryan?
Stop saying Ryan.
I'm sorry, Eric. All right. Well, I'm only human, right? And this is a podcast. It's not a production, right? So Joe. No.
Bill,
Eric, these products, how are they priced? I mean, if a company wants to buy them, can they buy them in, you know, small quantities, large quantities, discounts for large quantities, etc.?
First, you can get them for free. Yeah, it's not a dummy marketing stunt and everything. because the idea here is to say, you know, the main idea here at Wireshare was to say, well, we shouldn't ask money to see, you know, you need to see what is your current situation. You need to see everything. And, for example, you don't have to pay to have NotSpeak, so we shouldn't make people pay to get some read-only situation with Kanzi. So what we made and the choice we made was to say, okay, you can get all our tools for free on a read-only basis. So with that, you can, you know, look at your stuff, get some tools to see your situation. And if you, after that, want to do some, you know, modification, go faster on your modification through our tools, then this is when you have to pay.
That's a great idea.
There is a real free version. It's like a shareware kind of. So it's more on the functionality. It's not time limited. It's more on the functionality. It's okay. You can look at your situation. And what I say usually when I do a presentation is okay. You can look. It's free. But if you want to touch, you have to pay.
That sounds familiar. what part of Canada are you guys in?
Not Vancouver, is it?
No, I'm in Vancouver, USA. Vancouver, USA.
Right. So what happens usually, we have people downloading the tool, using for free, and they're really happy with that, because at least if you look at Scandizzy for free, it's a good way to see your information, rather than using, for example, the small property box with a list field on the document. The stuff you can spend hours just to roll it to find your information. Here you have a full tool that allows you to see right away the content of the documents and everything. This is free. This is free. You shouldn't pay for that. After that, we provide some renting solutions, so you can rent the product. Say, okay, I get that. I see my problem. I just want to fix my problem, but I don't want to buy the product. Okay. So you can rent it. You can rent it for 2 days or 5 days. And this is $9.99 and $19.99. So it's a short amount just to correct and to save your day eventually. You're stuck. You need to correct your situation. You don't have to put the big money on the table. It's just a $10 situation.
Wow. So you can, like you said, rent any of the products for, on a
2 days, 5 days.
Two or 5 days. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and that would be nice for someone like me if I'm doing a consulting job somewhere and I go to a client and they decide they don't want to actually buy the product, but I'd really, really, really like to use it on whatever I'm working on. I guess I could just rent it for a few days, get everything done, and get out of there.
Exactly.
We've all been in that situation.
There is another way to handle the situation. After that, it depends on your morality. You can say, well, you don't have the tool, so it will cost you 1 month. And you rent the stuff and you do the job in 2 days only. So you incorrect 1 month.
Oh, there you go.
That's an interesting
one. Yeah. The 6 month lease on the tool.
More money for Y-Tree,
What you
so, and after that, the pricing is, go on, Jean.
Oh, well, I was going to say, is there, and it's probably what you were about to talk about. Now, can you do some kind of bundle, or do you really always have to do all of the tools individually?
No, you can buy all the tools in one bundle. Presently, the base price for the bundle is $2,000. The base price for one tool is $500.
That's U.S., so, right?
Yeah, that's US. Yeah, so $500. This is $500. This is for one Scandizzy with no upgrades. And I know that I think the 2000. I'm not the selling guy here. Why is the price? No, 2000 is 2000. If I remember well, is it's a bundle. It's all the tool, and you get two years of upgrade support and everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Eric, you guys going to be at Lotusphere 2007?
Yes, we are going to have a booth every year. and you won't miss us because we will be wearing some really bright orange shirts.
Oh, good.
The type you only wear at the trade show, or?
Sorry? Well, I don't know. I'm wearing a Mandarin one. Sorry, I'm wearing a Mandarin one, so it's no.
I'm just
maybe
teasing.
I'm an orange guy.
Right. Maybe it's just Y-Tree orange.
Right. We haven't.
That's your company color.
Yeah. this is something we're kind of building here. We are building a new face for the company, and for what I see, the choice has been made directly on the orange. So we're going to be an orange company.
Well, excellent.
Yeah, there's worse colors to have.
The Taking Notes podcast and the I Do Notes podcast have some shirts, and we'll be sure to hook you up with one of those. So we'll trade.
Oh, sure. I would love that. Yeah. No problem.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Everyone dropped off. It was weird. Well, Eric.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah,
sorry about that. Good old
Skype. No problem. This happened.
Good old Skype. But guess what? The recorder's still going, and we appreciate everyone's patience for the little little gap. So you guys are going to be at Lotusphere 2007. You're going to have shirts. It's a new branding color for Y-Tria. What else do you want to share with the audience, Eric, about Y-Tria?
Well, what I can say, I would have eventually another topic. It's about what I call the hammer and the screwdriver. Because a lot, we hear a lot of people saying, well, You know, I gallery some, for example, Team Studio tools, so I don't know if I need some WireCrea tool. It's really funny because people are kind of protecting themselves like that. And I'm myself a Team Studio tool user, and definitely we're not answering the same needs. You know, you have the hammer to, and you have the screwdriver. So usually, sure, you can try to do some work with your screwdriver as a hammer, but it won't definitely fit the need you're looking for. So.
Yeah. Well, and there's really always room for new tools. I think that's the nice thing about Lotus Notes and the C API and all of mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. extensibility that if you see a need like you've obviously seen a lot of needs that I've seen before and never done anything about, and you know, you see those and you think, well, gosh, I can fix that. I can make that better for people. And exactly. You know, again, there's no shortage of ideas or of
no.
You know, development opportunities. I think that's great.
We have
some nice tools.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to mention the fact that the tools are complementary. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, and we have thousands of IDs. You know, it's and it's even more today because a lot of customers come back here. Yeah, this is cool, but could you do that this way because it will be there. We're going to provide two new tools on the Lotusphere on a free basis for now. The name will be SEL Easy and Agent Easy. The idea is really simple, is to have a global vision of your SELs on one server or have a global vision of your agents on one server at once. And, you know, and being able to organize your data exports that, you know, to see, okay, where are my agents, what happened, who ran, who didn't run, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So this will be there on Lotusphere.
Yeah. Isn't something like the agent thing in Domino Administrator, but not very useful?
Yeah, you have, if we're talking, for example, about schedule, we had the situation because we are really huge Notes Domino users here. We do everything with Notes Domino here in WireCrea. And, you know, sometimes I get some agent running. I have some difficulty to trace them, you know, to say, okay, well, we had the situation, for example, every Sunday at 10 p.m., the server was crashing. So you say, this must be an agent somewhere that's running and crashing my server. But where is that? Who is that? Which one is that? You know, when you have a big number of database on your server, say, okay, where's my stuff? You know, who is the faulty one? You know, it's sometimes difficult to get that. And we had to develop something in LotusScript just to go through all the stuff and say, okay, who's scheduled, who's running, who's not running, et cetera, et cetera. So this is where we said, okay, stop that. We can help people with that, and we need to help ourselves first. Mm-hmm. And we can help people with that for sure. SEL is the same. You know, when you look at the SEL, it's the same. You know, it's I don't know for you, but we have three servers here. And so it's mainly for testing and everything. And when you know, I always have some difficulties to see if I got a big nice hole in my security here, because it's difficult to have a global vision of your security here. So okay, which one? Are my SEL correct? Because I'm not the only one to create database on the server for sure, as usual. So I'm never sure that somebody, you know, maybe create a database and put a really nice hole in the system where everybody then can get into it, you know. And it's difficult to have this information globally.
Okay. Yes. Yep. No, that sounds really cool. And those tools are going to be free, or are they going to cost us money?
It will be free because it will be read only on the beginning, and we are going to stick with our rule, which is, if you want to look, it's free. So it will be free. For now, it's read only. So we will work on the edition part after.
Ah, okay. All right.
Great. Hey, I have one quick question for you before mm-hmm. before we all get done. Do you have the office supply store called Staples in Canada?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Have you seen the easy button?
Yeah, I wanted. Yes.
Bruce has one, I think.
I do.
I think Bruce can set you up
with
the easy button.
You have one?
Yeah.
We thought about that, you know, because when I saw that at the Staples here, I say, well, I should buy that for all the team. We should have our easy button on site. What do you say? It says that's easy, something like that?
Or that was easy. We'll stick it in stick it in the podcast at right about now.
That was easy.
There we go. Okay. Did you hear it?
Sure.
All right. Eric, I know we've been trying to plan this podcast for a long time, and we did it. I think you provided some excellent information about your tools. In fact, I get pinged a lot. I don't know about you, Julian, but I get pinged a lot by people. It's like, you guys should talk to Whytria. You guys should talk to Whytria. I guess a lot of people really like your tools, so.
Yeah, we can have some. It's like a sect, you know. Yeah. There are people when they begin to use our tool. After that, they're kind of they're using it every day. It's an everyday basis tool. These are everyday basis tools.
Do you catch like your employees in the bathroom looking in the mirror saying, "I make the easy. I make the best." No, I'm kidding.
Not yet, but now you mention that, I should check. But no, it's really well,
part of that team building thing.
The theme for the Lotus Fair, you know, on the shirt, right, so we will have a big, huge addiction mail cure on our back with our name. So the theme is on addiction. You know, you can get addicted with our tool for sure.
Ah, that's cool. And I look forward to stopping by your pedestal, which is what number?
That's a good question. I think it's 237. I'm not sure about this one. I didn't prepare myself.
No, that's okay. We'll stick it in the show notes.
Look for the orange shirts, right?
Yeah, exactly. Look for the orange shirts. Yeah.
Like green is percussion, orange is Whytria. Who else had some pretty loud shirts?
Is it green?
What's OpenNTF going to be?
Well, we're going to be black. Just black with some colors. And the OpenNTF and the Listen Up and I Do Know, well, the Listen Up t-shirt, which is the podcast t-shirt that we have, is going to be a navy blue with white lettering. And be sure to stop by the pedestal to see Gail or Matt or Jess or Vince or Neil and to get one. Supplies are limited.
Cool.
So that's it. And again, Eric, thanks for taking part in this episode of the Taking Notes podcast. And again, we'd like to thank Integra for Notes. Great product there. And stop by and see them at Lotusphere. And we look forward to seeing you, Eric, and the rest of the Whytria team at Lotusphere.
Yeah, me too. Thank you very much. And it was really a nice meeting. I was a bit nervous before that. But
oh, you sounded great.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Eric.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
This episode of the Taking Notes podcast was sponsored by Integra for Notes, the leading Microsoft Office integration and reporting tool for Lotus Notes.